After that, it's really just talking with our industrial designer to pull out every information from you that they need to do their job, which is, you know, who's your inspiration? What's your end user goal? You know, all the stuff you want to have in terms of making an awesome product. And then we go to work. I mean, it's, we try to make this process as simple and for anyone who wants to come interact with us.
Hi, folks. It's the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Doust. Quiet Light Brokerage is the leader in helping entrepreneurs build, buy, and sell their online businesses. Since 2007, we have helped thousands buy and sell online businesses. And now, we're putting our extensive knowledge in your earbuds with our trademark relentless honesty and a few laughs along the way.
But whatever nickel-dime bullshit you pulled in the past, this is more than just me. This is pension plans, payrolls. This is $600 million.
And now, here's Joe and Mark.
Joe, as you and I both know, product innovation, product creation, and variance on your product is one of the key lifelines to any Amazon business. You can't just launch a product, or if you can, you're very, very lucky. Most businesses don't just launch a product and live with that forever. You need to be able to come up with new products to feed your audience, to feed your customers in some way. And I understand you had Zach Leonard on, who his company helps with just that, product creation, sourcing, reducing COGS. Tell me a little bit about the conversation.
Yeah. Zach is from a company called Gemba, and he came to us through some people that have bought some sizable businesses with us, people that I would say are smarter than us and are in the e-commerce world, working with Chinese manufacturers, developing new products, sourcing new products, and just focused on all aspects of importing from, I should say, overseas. It's not always China. But it was a fascinating conversation because a lot of people that we talk to, whether they're buyers or sellers who want to expand their product line, a lot of conversations that you and I have with entrepreneurs, we repeat over and over. It's not just about the top line, it's the bottom line. And you shouldn't just drive revenue and not focus on reducing your cost of goods sold or repackaging or stop shipping things by air and do it by freight, things of that nature. Zach's company focuses on all of that. And it's right there in Austin, Texas. And he just goes through all of it here on the podcast. And it's fascinating. I think a lot of people are going to say, where the hell was this guy when I started my business? Because they're going to want to use him and similar services like his.
You know, I was just talking to somebody right before you and I jumped on this call here, where he had an idea. He's a consultant on a lot of different things. And he was asking me about product packaging in Amazon businesses, and whether or not there would be a market out there from Amazon sellers who want to save some money on their packaging and maybe getting better rates from Amazon in that regard. And I tried to explain to him that, yes, people are interested, but in the Amazon ecospace, there's this element of there's so many opportunities to either cut costs or grow revenue. Most people are focusing on this, you know, the 20% that's going to have the 80% effect, right? And so if you can hire somebody like Zach, if you can find a company like Zach's that can come in and take care of maybe the other 80% that you're ignoring because you're simply too dang busy with all the other stuff that's on your plate, that can be a really key win for your company.
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity to at least listen to it, have a conversation. I think that, you know, I asked him throughout, this is not, by the way, a pitch for his services. I asked for golden nuggets all the way through. What are people doing right? What are they doing wrong? What would you advise them to do? How can they cut their own costs and things of that nature? So I think it's going to help people if they're in the e-commerce world now. And it's an opportunity. You could talk to him at the end. We give out his information. It's Gemba.com, G-E-M-B-A-H. But listen to it. It's fascinating. Some of the tidbits he gives throughout the entire podcast are really valuable.
Hey, folks, it's Joe Valley from Quiet Light Brokerage. And today I've got Zach Leonard on the line with me from Gemba. Zach, welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast.
Thanks, Joe. Really excited to be here. Excited for the next, you know, 30-ish minutes to talk more about what we do and a little bit more of our background.
Let's jump right into that. Tell us about what you do, what Gemba is, and who you serve.
Yeah, so I am the founder and president of Gemba. We are a product innovation platform, so we help businesses, both e-commerce, Amazon, and promotional products companies and retail brands create and manufacture products. So we have a team of engineers, designers that help more of the product innovation side of things, so helping bring ideas to life through, you know, sketches, design, full renderings, CAD drawings. And then we have a team in China that focuses on the manufacturing. So once those collateral for your projects are done, for those cool products that you're trying to make, we turn it over to our team to help bid it out to our factory network, which is over 500 now. And then once you're into production, we do a bunch of quality control measures and really look at it as if you were physically there in the factory yourself, to take photos and videos along the way to make sure that, you know, we're scrutinizing the way that you would, not a third party necessarily. Really, we see ourselves as a partner in crime in that sense. And then once everything's ready to go, we help with the logistics as well. So really a turnkey operation to make sure that you can get these cool products to the market in a very fast manner. So typically we can get them out in like 3 to 6 months.
Where the hell were you when I was in the e-commerce world? Jesus, I needed you.
Actually, I keep hearing that, but we're here now. So
yeah, no, I actually, two different e-commerce worlds. First, it was supplements, digestive health supplements. So that was US-based, but we had another, my wife had a different product that we manufactured in China, or she manufactured in China, but we had no idea what we're doing. So I love this subject. And I think there's probably a lot of people that are listening going, oh my God, where's this guy been? So tell us that. Where have you been? How did you get started doing what you do? What's your background beyond, you know, prior to Gemba?
Yeah. So it's actually unrelated completely. I was, I started as a consultant, you know, many moons ago, my prior life. And really that helped me organize chaos, like got me that operational and financial way of thinking. And then I moved into a role where I was running the Texas markets for a company called Instacart, which was same day delivery. And you get to see explosive growth. You know, I was an employee, I think number 40 or something like that. So, you know, moving that market from zero to doing, you know, 7+ figures in a week in GMV, which is, you know, hiring nonstop, you know, hiring days where you had to hire 75 to 100 people a day. I mean, it was nuts. Yeah. And then from there, I moved into a strategy role at a company called Dropoff, which was focused on more than just grocery delivery, but more just same day, you know, same day courier delivery. And while I was there, I started to pique an interest into manufacturing side of things. You know, it always, you know, the show How It's Made always resonated with me. I like to watch that show. And then, you know, I met a couple people that were into the manufacturing world. One of them owns a pet products company. And he really opened my eyes into what really goes on into that. And the whole time I was thinking, man, there's like really a problem that goes on for a product company to try and find a good resource to really make products and overseas, especially. So I started doing a ton of research, and then I started to, you know, really just test this theory out of, you know, what is missing in the market out there. And, you know, it started off as really just trying to be like a quality control company, seeing like how we can help and just being like a team on the ground overseas. And as we continue to grow over the last couple of years, we've started to say, okay, there's tons of companies out there that do this already. What is the it factor for Gemba? And is really offering that full scale design plus manufacturing offering, where we can take something from idea all the way through the entire process. And the reason for that is, you know, I've seen a couple of my friends go through that process, and, you know, they work with a designer maybe, and it's kind of disjointed. You have that experience where you're going to designer and they don't know if they can actually get that product manufactured. They go to the manufacturer and they say, okay, well, what do I have to change to make a mass scale production here? And then they have to go back to the designer, and the designer starts charging them. And then the manufacturer says, well, that's wrong. You know, this whole process is just kind of, you know, just not straightforward. And so what we're trying to do is bring in experts along the way at each different part of the cycle. So start off with the product design part of it, have experts that have made products in manufacturing at full scale manufacturing before, and then sync them up with the factory so that you don't have that lack of communication, that gap of communication. And it's resonated really well, especially in the Amazon space. You know, we've started to even expand our offering beyond just the product design into more of a research-based company to help with, you know, there's tools out there like Helium 10 and stuff, but we have a team over there that can help really expedite that process and enhance the Helium 10 and the Helium 10 experience.
So expand, you mean expand beyond their current set of SKUs to, you know, a wider product line? Is that what you mean by expand?
Yeah. So let's say that you have a search term that you find that is really hot right now. You know, there's a lot of investment that could go on into making a product completely new from scratch, or incrementally innovating and paying some high design fees if you don't know what you're doing. What we can do is actually say, okay, you find this hot search term. Let's go talk to our factory networks and find out what the latest and greatest technology is for that search term, and find out a product that isn't on the market yet. And then you just go sell it, right? And we've done that successfully now for a couple of our customers, and they actually have a 7-figure product now because of our research.
That's amazing. Well, let's let's talk real life examples, if we can, without naming names or products or anything like that. But can you walk us through a relationship that you have where they've come to you, met with you, sat down with you and your team, and what you did for them in terms of, you know, helping them design and develop the product and expand and find those manufacturers and so on and so forth?
Absolutely. So there's a customer that we have that's, you know, a eight-figure seller now, and they came to us with, you know, a couple issues. One is, you know, they're one of those companies that acquires a bunch of other smaller sellers and tries to roll them up. And so a lot of those sellers, when they sell, they've maybe found their factories on Alibaba, or they may have gone over and met the guy in a subway or something like that, and they're taking those guys at face value. Well, first thing that we do with them is helps optimize their supply chain. So if they have a bunch of different companies, we're helping them really understand, are they getting the best pricing? Are they scaling the correct way? Or maybe if they have similar products, are we able to condense them into one single factory, or maybe two factories instead of, you know, three different factories that they have? And so when you talk about that, you're talking about giving them buying power. You're talking about giving them scale at the factory, and we're able to shave off like 20 to 30% of their product cost. So at their bottom line, we're talking, you know, you're adding a ton of revenue or saving a ton of cost to their bottom line. So that's kind of the first thing we did for this company. The next thing we did.
Let me just pause right there just so that people understand. And I don't need to do this because the audience is incredibly smart and adept, but you know, if you're selling a simple math, 1,000 units a month, and you're saving, it's a $10 product cost. If, and correct me if I'm not getting this right, Zach, but $10 product cost, you're shaving off 20%. That's from, you know, manufacturer to FBA, in this case, $2 per unit or $2,000 per month. What that does, everyone, is that adds $24,000 to the bottom line. And if your business is worth 3-4 times, that's going to add $7,500 to the overall value of your business when you eventually do exit it as well. So we're always talking about, it's not the top line that only matters, but working with someone like Zach and improving that bottom line and the efficiencies and the profitability, that's what really drives value. It's not just the top line revenue. I'm sorry to interrupt, but keep going. Okay, so you're working with this particular, you know, client to reduce their cost of goods sold and streamline, and go on.
That's right. So that's kind of the first set of operations that we help them do. The next set is, you know, they identify a bunch of SKUs that they want to add to their brand or add to their existing brands. The first step is, you know, if they want to just white label product because they see how, you know, we've been able to give them better price, and they'll come to us and say, hey, I just want to go white label this. I found a hot product. Let's go find it. They set a price target and a quantity, and 9 times out of 10, we're able to hit that price target and quantity and get them adding SKUs, adding value to their overall brand, diversifying their brand, adding, you know, giving that perpetual continuous flywheel of bringing out new products at a really reasonable clip in terms of time. You know, like I said, it's like 3 to 6 months.
And they're using software like Helium 10 to see what kind of sales are already occurring. They know that that particular product is a hot seller. They're just going to jump on the bandwagon, so to speak.
Sometimes, yes. I think they also have their own proprietary software that they use. I mean, this is
Liberatus. Yeah. There's a Jungle Scout. There's the Helium 10. There's a lot of things out there that can help with it, but that's what they're doing is the research going, okay, this is something that sells well. I'm going to go ahead. Okay. Got it. Yep. All right.
And if they want to differentiate from that, then they'll come to us and say, okay, I want to make a new or incremental innovation on this product. I look at maybe some of the reviews, or I have some sort of, you know, test market that I go out and look at and say, hey, what do you think about this product? And they give some feedback, and then they say, I need to make XYZ enhancements on a certain product. Our team will design it really fast. Usually we get those designs back in about a week. We then go bid it out to our factory network, and then they're able to, again, get on that flywheel of creating new products in 3 to 6 months. So obviously, if it's just a straight sourcing white label gig, you know, that can take a lot less time. That can take like a month maybe to get a product out to market. And then if it's more of a designed focused project, then it can take like 3 to 6 months.
Okay. And the designers are industrial designers doing real 3D renderings, things of that nature?
Exactly right. So they'll, you know, our process really starts off with sketching. So we'll do, you know, 2 to 3 sketches of each concept based on a conversation or a full project kickoff we have for each one of these SKUs. And from there, we then, you know, focus in on getting to that final rendering. And then we'll then prepare you and enable you to have the real blueprints of the product. So the CAD drawings, all the bill materials, all that stuff you need to really look like a professional when you go and start sourcing overseas. One of the biggest problems I see with a lot of, you know, sellers is that they try and go talk to these factories on Alibaba, and that go and say, well, I want to make XYZ changes to a product without really giving them that collateral and saying, these are the exact changes I want to make. And so the factories know that you're a fish in that circumstance. They know that they can take advantage of you. If you go to them with a design sheet, a full bill of materials, a full CAD drawing to show them exactly what you want, they're going to take you a lot more serious. And so what we're really trying to do is prepare you for that conversation, whether it's through us, whether it's on your own factory network, but we want to make sure you look like a professional. And you can start getting better pricing because of that.
Okay. So if I was the person that had the e-commerce store or Amazon business, well, both, I can choose. I can take your renderings and go direct to my own manufacturer, or I could have you bid it out to your manufacturers as well.
You can, yeah, if you want to. We prefer that you bid it out with our factories. Obviously, we tend to have better pricing than the average Joe. But, you know, if you want to go off on your own, you're more than happy to do that.
Yeah. So let's say that I hired you. Do the relationships with your manufacturers transfer to me? Do I get to work with them directly, or are you always in the middle?
Typically, if you're going through us to manage it, you're using us as your face in China or Vietnam or India, wherever we're doing business with you. And the reason for that is because the relationship building is so important, as well as we provide the quality control. So it's something to just take off your plate. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fly over to China. We just handle that relationship for you. We're going to show up at the factory. We're going to build the relationship. We're going to constantly go to bat for you, try to get better pricing. Make sure that if your factory is getting behind or they're starting to lose scale, you can start having that conversation about either bringing you to the next level of factory, you know, the higher level, or starting to, you know, scrutinize the bill of materials that they give back if it's an assembly factory and say, hey, you know, maybe this component that you're sourcing, you're marking up too much. Let me go find a different factory for that individual component and get it cheaper for you. So we do that a lot of times with packaging, for example. If you go to a assembly factory, they're going to upcharge their packaging. Well, we have a packaging factory work that we can compare pricing to make sure that your assembly factory isn't upcharging you.
Yeah, no, every dollar counts again to that bottom line. I had someone on the podcast a few weeks ago. Folks, if you haven't heard it, somebody bought a business from Quiet Light, and within a few weeks, they did what Zach is talking about, which is exchange out one part and get another part. I think he saved something like $4 per unit and per SKU, and they sell thousands on a monthly basis. It was just a tremendous instant equity to his business and overall bump in bottom line revenue as well, or profit, I should say. Do you also do consolidated shipping so that if you've got, you know, three or four different clients that are manufacturing from different facilities, partial container load with different folks and reduce their overall shipping costs as well?
Absolutely. If they have factories that are located in essentially, you know, central part of China that goes through the same port, we absolutely can handle that. We're doing that right now with one of our customers. Actually, they have three different factories they have for three different products, and they're trying to fill up a 40-foot high container, and they want to make sure that we can make it happen for them. And that's something we do pretty easily. So yeah, we definitely do that.
All right. Educate me. Make me sound smarter than I am. Is it LTL, less than container load? Is that what the acronym is?
LCL. Less than container load.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. I'll try to remember that. I'll get it wrong the next time we do this, and people are going to go, God, Joe just can't get that right. But I don't do what you do, so it's okay. I don't need to know what you know. That's why people hire you. All right. So the design aspect, going back to that again, how does somebody approach you? What's the ideal situation? Is it, do you have a form on your website? Do they just come to you and they have a conversation with you? How does it start? How does it work?
Yep. So we have a form on our website, which kind of gives you just the basic name, email, phone, what you're trying to make. And then we'll have a conversation with you about what you're trying to make. And we'll start the conversation with, you know, understanding if there's patent issues or something like that. So we can have an understanding if there's any legal obstacles we have to overcome. After that, you know, it's really just talking with our industrial designer to pull out every information from you that they need to do their job, which is, you know, who's your inspiration? What's your end user goal, you know, all the stuff you want to have in terms of making an awesome product. And then we go to work. I mean, we try to make this process as simple and easy for anyone who wants to come interact with us.
So when we do valuations at Quiet Light, which, you know, I hope we're doing well in advance of somebody exiting their business so that they get more value. Oftentimes people will say, well, I don't really want to share my information with you until we have a non-disclosure agreement on file. Will you send that to me? Do you start with a non-disclosure agreement on file? Because you've got an awful lot of information about somebody, and you can decide to go into the e-commerce business yourself.
Yeah, we won't have a conversation with you until you sign a non-disclosure because of that. It's mutual. You know, we make sure that all the IP is protected, all the conversations are protected, because our business is really secretive, right? And so that we make sure that everything is completely sound in terms of legal and protection for the IP.
So theoretically, if I decided to work with you, do I really never have to go to China?
Never. We encourage you to, because it's always great to meet the factory and meet our team. But in terms of like reality, no, you don't have to, because we have someone who's going on your behalf, showing up at the factory, doing pretty much everything that you would do. And they understand the culture because they're locals. So really, go ahead.
We had Dave Bryan on the podcast. Dave's from Ecom Crew, and a big part of his contribution to that is manufacturing in China. And he's an expert at it. And his wife is actually from China originally, and he lived there for a long time. And he talked about the benefit of that relationship. Mm-hmm. And I've heard people talk about it when they go over and they meet the manufacturers and they go out to dinner, drinks, as I understand. It changes things. They're willing to give you, perhaps better pricing, better terms, things of that nature. Do you fully replace that, or should a business owner also, it's still your relationship with the manufacturer, but should they get over there as well? You said you prefer, you think that they should go over, but truly they don't ever have to. What's the benefit of them going if it's your relationship with your manufacturer?
Yeah. So there's a business culture called Guanxi in China, which is exactly what that is. It's basically how they operate in terms of the business language and how they operate from the business culture. And what they enjoy is the face-to-face interaction. There's a lot more conversations that can be had. You can learn about their family. You can talk about, what kind of food they like to have, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of value that comes out of building the relationship. And like you said, they'll start to give more concessions. There's a ton of people going to them every single day on Alibaba or in person that want to do business with them. But they value the people who are there for the long term and the people who really make an effort. And that's because that's just how their culture is. So while you don't have to do that because we're taking care of that, we definitely, enjoy, recommend, whatever you want to call it, you personally, as the business owner of your business, going over there, maybe it's not every year, maybe it's every other year, maybe if you want to go there every 6 months, whatever it is, we help facilitate that. So if you show up, we're going to take you with our team over there, so you get to meet both our team, which is also important as going to the factory. So yeah, we'll take you straight from the plane to the hotel that you choose, or if you want to stay at our place, you can stay at our place, and then from there, it's going to the factory. So
love that.
You get to meet our team, see our office. If you want to stay in our apartment, you're more than happy to. But really, we give that white glove service in terms of making sure that you look like a professional and look great in terms of the culture aspect over there. So we're just bridging that gap.
That's awesome. It's standard business stuff. And that's why we do video in addition to the audio on these, because we can't meet everybody face to face, but it's great to be able to see the whites in their eyes and talk to them when we talk to people all over the world. Talk to us about what are the biggest mistakes? Let's say somebody doesn't want to use Gemba, but educate them, help them. What are the biggest mistakes that e-commerce product owners, marketers, FBA owners, what are they doing wrong at a dramatic level? That's simple to fix.
Yeah, I think the number one thing I would take away is going to Alibaba unprepared. And the reason I say that is because Alibaba did a great job at bringing the factories to mass market. What they don't do a great job of is explaining how the process works. And so there's a lot of things that you can go just straight to Alibaba and get wrong, right? So I'm sure you've experienced this, or maybe people or your audience has experienced this, where you go to Alibaba, you ask for a price code of something, you get a sample, and then they change the price. Or you ask for an iteration of something, they give you a price, and then they make the sample and it's completely wrong. Or you order a product and then it's completely defective before you come back. I mean, again, this is just a software platform into a process that has been going on for thousands of years, right? So software is not going to necessarily overcome the hurdles that exist continuously in manufacturing, which is defective products, building that culture, and building a relationship. So those are the three things that Alibaba really doesn't fix. And so what I would recommend, again, is to hire someone locally to fix those problems, because there is a culture gap. You do need to build a relationship, and you need to make sure that your products are not coming back defective. So those are the three things I think that are the most important in terms of doing business overseas that most people overlook.
And what is the simplest thing somebody can do to reduce their costs?
It depends on which part of the process they're in. So if they're if you're talking about building something from scratch, it's going to the factories and getting multiple bids with an actual blueprint. You know, like I always use the analogy of building a house. You wouldn't build a house without an architect. You shouldn't build a product without a designer and an engineer. It just, they're just going to cut corners. They're going to take their interpretation of what they're trying to make. And their interpretation is, let's make this the cheapest way possible and charge the most I possibly can. And so,
but it seems logical when you put it that way.
Right. I mean, who wouldn't do that? It's the same thing if you're building a home. If you go straight to the builder and you say, I want to build a 2,500 square foot house. Okay, I'm going to build my interpretation of that. And I'm going to put it up as fast as I can and as cheap as possible. Why wouldn't they do that? So yeah, that's the way that we approach it.
Okay. Any tricks or tips or advice in terms of shipping, which is a big cost, the freight, when people, you know, are shipping products from China to Amazon or to their own 3PL or whatever the case might be. Any tips there?
Yeah, I think, again, always get multiple bids for that. And then always make sure that your compliance is in order. Especially if you're building a new product, these products have never been out in the market before. There's a ton of compliance measures that need to be taken to make sure that they're labeled correctly. Like, for example, if you're selling a children's product, they need to be tested. You know, they need to have CalProp 65, ASTM testing, a bunch of other testing that needs to happen. They need to be labeled a certain way. If it's intended for, you know, infants, they need to be choked, like make sure there's no small parts that can choke them. They need to be labeled on the packaging as well a certain way. So those are all things that if you don't do those correctly, they can get flagged at customs and ultimately turned back. And the factory is not going to reimburse you for the mistake that you made in not getting your compliance in order. Mm. And so that is a business killer. So that is the number one tip I can give to someone in terms of logistics and compliance is make sure you have all that in order before you bring a new product into the market. Okay. Those are all things that we help do, obviously.
Great advice. And you do that at Gemba. What the heck is Gemba? How did you come up with that name? What does it mean?
So in Japanese Kaizen manufacturing theory, there's the word Gemba, which means the place where value is created on the manufacturing floor. So that is where it's based off of. In Chinese, Gemba means let's do this. So it's kind of a dual meaning, both from the Japanese manufacturing and then the fun side, which is Gemba.
Very cool. Got it. You just mentioned manufacturing. I want to go back to something you said earlier, which was your manufacturers in China or Thailand or whatever, wherever they may be. You named a few countries. How difficult is it now in this economy, in this environment with all the trade wars, to find something that's being manufactured currently in China and get a quote? Are there factories in Thailand and the Philippines and so on that can do the same thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we get that a lot now from our customers. And I think there are some products that are more easily transferred to a different country. You're talking cut and sew apparel for places like Vietnam. Glassware you can get in India pretty well. If you're talking injection molded items, it's starting to pop up in Vietnam. You just have to make sure that you understand they move a lot slower, especially in places like Vietnam, Cambodia, Philippines. And the reason for that is because they don't have the raw materials that places like India and China do, right? So they're importing almost everything from places like China, South Korea, India to get into their factories. So that adds time to the lead time of you making a product. So most Amazon sellers, for example, don't have the luxury of waiting 60 to 90 days to get a product into their hands of their consumers. Whereas these big e-commerce brands who spend a lot more time and money on R&D and come up with new products, maybe 12 months in advance, they can take that luxury and move their production over to a different country. So that's why you're seeing like the Nikes, the Adidas of the world moving into Vietnam or moved a lot of their production into Vietnam because they can do that. They have the operational capacity to do that.
So for the 6, 7, 8 figure brands that we know of, we talk to, is it worth it time-wise and financially? Are they saving cost in terms of cost of goods sold, or are they just comfortable knowing that they're not going to have to deal with any trade war issues in the future if they can?
Yeah, I think that's a true business decision. I would say the prices that we've seen between India and China specifically are not competitive. China's still way more cost friendly in terms of like apples to apples comparison on the exact same products. I've seen 5x in India. Mm. Vietnam is pretty competitive but everyone's starting to knock at their door. So I've seen, you know, garment and apparel prices go up by 4 to 7% just cost of good before you get to the shipping and logistics side of things. So there, you know, they're smart. They know that everyone's coming, trying to come to them, and their production lines are moving at a high clip now. So I think it's really, you have to understand the entire landscape of your true landed cost and time and lead time before you actually make that decision of moving production over to Vietnam, because it's not as easy as it sounds operationally.
Yeah. Right. Makes sense. Are you renegotiating with any of your Chinese manufacturers to offset the tariffs?
Of course. Of course.
They're okay with that? What are they? They're like,
yeah, I mean, it's a geopolitical issue that's going on, and they don't like it either. Whoever side they end up taking is on them, and whoever side we, as Americans take, it's on us. But, there's certain things you can do to help them share the tax burden. There's certain things you can do, especially with molds, that you can start recouping your mold costs if you want to create some injection molded item. That's the kind of stuff that we do when we're talking about making you look like a professional. These are the things that we were bringing to the table when we start the negotiation process. And so because of the geopolitical landscape that we have, this is part of the conversation now.
Sounds like a really, really important conversation to have. How do people find you? How do they get started? That kind of thing.
The best approach would be to go on our website, www.gemba.com, G-E-M-B-A-H.com, and fill out a form, and we'll be in touch with you as soon as you fill that out.
Geographically, where are you located?
So we are headquartered in Austin, Texas, the barbecue capital of the world.
And all you have to do today is put it on your dashboard, because it's I'm talking to people in August here, right? So it'll grow right there. Yeah,
right.
I love Austin. Lots of folks down there we work with.
Yep. And then our office in China is in the southern part, in a place called Dongguan, which is close to the Guangzhou area. It's the manufacturing capital for the south.
So you got the grilling capital and the barbecue capital and the manufacturing capital. I think the folks here in North Carolina may argue with you about the the barbecue capital, but I'm from Maine.
Yeah, so really. Y'all love your sauce. I've come to learn that it's a sauce. It's a saucy type of barbecue. I prefer the sauceless, more of the dry rub, which is. Yeah, it's me well in Texas, but I still like the Carolina barbecue. It's great.
Right. I won't say I disagree. All right, man, it's been great having you on the podcast. Looking forward to hearing some great successes from some of your clients who I know. I know a few that are working with you, people that have bought businesses from Quiet Light, sold through Quiet Light, and working with you now too. So it's been great having you on the podcast. Look forward to having the audience reach out to you and work with you and learn and get better pricing and better products out in the future. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Joe. Really, really glad I could be here. Appreciate it.
Today's podcast was produced by Podcast Motor and the Quiet Light content team. If you have a suggestion for a future podcast, or if you want to guess the quote from the beginning of the show for a chance at getting a shout out on the pod, email us at podcast@quietlightbrokerage.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and this show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.